Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, gentlemen, let's have some fun with some quarterbacks.
Oh, boy.
Top 10 quarterbacks from last weekend. Not top 10 quarterbacks for all season, just for last week's game.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable mention guys, Gardner Minshew, Drake May, both had 282 yards throwing, and each had two touchdowns, but they had three picks and two picks, so that did not qualify you. David, no, your guy's not on here either. No Russell Wilson.
You don't score a touchdown, you don't get to be on the list.
Six field goals doesn't get you?
It does not.
Okay. Maybe your kicker.
It does
not. But this isn't a kicking one. All right. At number 10, in a loss, but he was impressive yardage-wise, Jameis Winston.
Oh, go to hell.
395 yards, two touchdowns.
Ridiculous. I'm sorry.
In a loss to New Orleans.
Yeah, I know, but here's the problem. The numbers were garbage. The game wasn't close. Dustin Hopkins is an idiot kicker who should have been released. I don't know. I'll live with it because I know you got a short list in the NFL of quarterbacks who actually play well. But I don't like that one, and I don't like Jameis, but fine. Number nine.
Joe Burrow. Another quarterback came in with a loss. 356 yards, three touchdowns. He's just hard luck Joe at this point.
No, he's basically Matthew Stafford right now. Yeah. The old Stafford here. His team's failing him. That defense is failing him. His kicker's failing him. His coach is failing him. He's playing MVP caliber football, and they might win five games. It's crazy.
David?
That's just fine. He played well. Just didn't win.
I'm about to say, are you just not going to opt out because there's no Russell Wilson?
No, I don't care. He'll show you tonight.
Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, show you tonight. The over-under in the game is 34.
You know what, David?
We'll score 34.
If Russ throws for three touchdowns or accounts for three, I guarantee you he's got a spot.
Will there be three touchdowns in tonight's game?
Probably.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
What a gross game on a short week. Thanks a lot, David. Number eight.
At number eight, Mike, your boy, the Cowboy.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. 262, one touchdown, one interception, but 55 yards rushing, including another touchdown against Kansas City.
I would have had him higher on the list. It's a great defense, an aggressive defense, in a winner-take-all type game. I'd have him higher on the list. Admittedly, I'm not the biggest fan of his. No Kincaid, no Keon Coleman, no running game. I thought he played fabulous football outside of the one brain fart.
At where were we at?
Number six.
Number six is, no, number seven.
You have him eighth?
Who, Josh Allen?
You yes. hate Josh Allen.
No. Yeah, he was seven. No, I'm right. You're right. He's seven.
Number six.
He's seven. At six, we have Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
295 yards, two touchdowns, also rushed for 65 yards in a win over Cincinnati.
He's very good, but I wouldn't have Matt Allen. Very uneven game. Electric first half, very quiet second half, including three straight three and outs. Made a big throw to McConkey late. Very good performance. If we're quibbling, I'd have him below Allen. Opponent much
better. Agree, because his second half was just dreadful. Come on now, almost lost the game.
Was not ideal. Was not ideal. Especially as someone who had the Chargers. I thought I was about to have the worst loss of my NFL season.
At number five, we're going to go with, it looks like he's back, Tua. Tua, Miami Dolphins. Tua, 288 yards, three touchdowns against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Again, I'm going to say this. David, I just think we have we are running on different platforms. Yes, Tua was good. Yes, Tua should be on the list. He played a team that has quit. I got to have Josh Allen ahead of Tua as well. That's me.
Okay.
Tua should be here. But come on, play the Raiders? You could throw for 2.25 against the Raiders. Raiders quit, Rico. Hey, Max, hope you're enjoying Vegas. You should be here right now.
Okay, then you know what? we'll play a game. How far up should Josh Allen go?
Okay. Because, I like this game.
Because remember that. Remember what you just said.
All right.
At four, Anthony Richardson. Win over the Jets. 272 yards, one touchdown. He also rushed for 32 yards and rushed for two touchdowns.
Against the dead team, Josh Allen higher. Now I'm Josh Allen's biggest fan. Look at this. This is personal growth. Okay, Allen should be higher.
Here's the problem. A lot of people played against dead teams.
That's fine. Okay. Josh Allen didn't.
Okay.
He put on his assless chaps, and he beat the Chiefs.
All right. I think I know where you're going. David, any comment?
Oh, I'm loving everything
at
right now.
Number three.
Because yeah, I'm in a fight with Rico. Yeah, great.
Because you're right.
Okay. Carry on.
At number three, Matthew Stafford. 295 yards, threw for four touchdowns against New England.
And he played great. He played great. He had no O-line protection. I'm fine. If you want to put Stafford ahead, because his team is largely dead. And the Patriots, they're pesky. They're like a cockroach. You can't kill them. I could leave Stafford there. I'm not going to fight that one. The other ones, no, that's different. Number two,
he threw for 307 yards, four touchdowns. He also rushed for 5 yards in a win against Atlanta. I give you Bo Nix.
Hold on.
Josh Allen higher than Bo Nix?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I think we could debate the Stafford one. I got to put him ahead of Knicks.
Really?
That's Atlanta outside. Come on. You know they shrivel up.
That's a division leader. It's actually a real team.
Man, that's like being the best team in a YMCA league. That's what the NFC South is.
Okay. You
still that's gotta... okay. Go ahead, Debbie. You want to argue?
Yeah, I see what you're doing here, Rico. Who do you have as Offensive Rookie of the Year? Yep, Bo Nix. That's what you're doing.
No.
You're pushing up your rankings because of it.
Oh, he's got an agenda.
How do I have an agenda? 307 yards and four touchdowns.
Josh
and
Allen.
It was mobile Nix season.
True. With 5 yards.
It was.
Yeah. All right. Who was number one?
Okay. Your argument may fight this one. It's Jared Goff. 412 yards.
No.
Four touchdowns. He rushed for 21 yards over Jacksonville.
I'd have Allen 1. I'd have Stafford 2. I'd have Goff 3. Herbert 4. Nix 5.
So the opponent, not necessarily the stats.
Opponent matters to me.
No. It's just
and here's
listening.
The other thing. Not trying to be rude, and I'm not knocking you, Lions fans, but when you got Goff in the game in the fourth quarter up by 36, those numbers don't count.
A little bit of a Gott Padford.
What was that?
Goff Padford.
I used to love that nickname for him. Stat Padford. That's how I would go. I don't really take issue with much outside of Jameis being on the list. I'm offended by that. I really respected Josh Allen's performance in watching that game, having no running game.
Is it because it was the Chiefs and he knocked off the Chiefs?
Yeah, and the Chiefs' defense is what matters. Their offense is butt. But yeah, I just really respected the way Allen played.
And the slander of Bo Nix.
And not even just the Chiefs, but he's the game winner there.
On a running play. And
I get it.
Buried two people.
It's
no,
all
it was
together.
It was a huge play. Hey, man, he doesn't respect Josh Allen. Now I'm Josh Allen's biggest fan. How about that?
Well, no, you know what? And all I got to say is somebody else on this show has an agenda because I did not put Russell Wilson on the list.
I did not ask you to put Russell Wilson on the list.
He was salty from number 10. So there you go.
Mr. Dangerous.
All right. That's your quarterback rankings for, week 11 in the NFL, 97-1.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't believe the promo I just heard. Congratulations, Derek School. What are we doing here? All right. Sorry, I was just blown away by that.
Congratulations,
David. You've picked your kids up from school. We should start selling those.
That's an honor. He's, even though we all knew it was
going to
happen.
Yeah, I'm sure the congratulations for the station really mean the war. I'm sure he's emotionally moved by that.
Yeah, we gave Hutch a get well card. What? You didn't know that? Mike, you didn't. Is it still back? Yeah, it's back there. It's a gigantic get well card. You haven't seen this thing. Look, straight ahead. All the way back.
That's since, what that goofy thing is?
Yes.
Oh, dear God.
It's a gigantic all get right. well.
You know what, man? I'm just here so I don't get fined. We have lost cabin pressure. You have breaking news in the college football space that all fans of all schools are going to want to listen to. I'm turning my mic off. I'm going to let Rico finish. Then I'll drop a bomb on him. Go ahead.
Well, Mike, it looks as if a judge has granted preliminary approval on Monday to a $2.78 billion legal settlement that would allow college sports to pay players, the schools, to just pay the players. Not the NIL, not a collection. The actual school can now just pay the players. As a matter of fact, when you break it down, the deal would allow the biggest schools a pool of money of about $21.5 million in the first year to distribute to the athletes through its revenue sharing plan. This money will probably go up in value as the years go on. I think they're estimating around 4% each year. It will increase, kind of like a salary cap. Every team will have X amount of money to spend. The team, the schools will be, it's up to the school to decide where the money gets spent. But here's the other caveat. Because I'm all for this. Because I've often said the school should be footing the bill for this. Not you and I, not the billionaires, not the millionaires. Schools are making a ton of money off of TV money. They should be able to do this. But athletes would still be able to cut name, image, and likeness deals with outside groups.
Can I ask two questions now or you want me to wait?
Nah, go ahead.
This money you speak of. Does it have to be spread amongst all sports, or can I just say, F it, I want to be a football school?
It's depending on the school. So here's your check, and now Michael, you know, Valenti University, you decide where you want this money to go.
All 20 million football. I don't give an F about men's tennis.
Now,
can I do that?
Now, I don't know. You may have to set aside some for women's sports. So that you do not violate Title IX.
Okay, so what about this? So let's say it's 75%. I could go to my revenue sports and everybody else gets the crumbs, right?
Yeah.
Here's my problem. The last part of what he said, David. The last part of what he said is why we've reached Stupidville. So we're going to have the schools foot the bill, but we're not going to get rid of this farce that is name, image, and likeness. So this is the equivalent of a new home credit for first-time home buyers. Bad news. The price of homes is just going to go up. It's the same thing here. You're not going to get a deal. I'm not pointing at Rico blaming him. I'm just upset because college football never does anything right. So hold on. So the schools are going to pay, but we're still going to ask donors to fund this. Mm-hmm. So all that's going to do is raise the price of players. The $2 million quarterback is going to get four. Why? Schools are going to go silly season, and the donors are going to have to go above and beyond whatever money's provided. It's not even a salary cap. You will have kids now making more than first-round NFL draft picks. Mm-hmm. This is fugazi. Then I read today Governor DeWine in Ohio signed an executive order where what? Ohio State can start paying today? And we got to wait till July?
No. Ohio State says they're going to be ready to go as soon as, I think it's August 7th is when this is going to go into effect.
Can I get five people in the state of Michigan to talk about this and tell me whether I'm off base?
Because what you're seeing, I think what they want it to be and what it's going to end up being are two separate things, just like NIL.
Correct. Just like because the portal.
This is supposed to be, and I know, it's like an athlete. All right? Jared Goff is the star quarterback. So he gets commercials. He gets extra money through endorsements rather than Dan Skipper, who's a fan favorite.
Right.
No endorsements. That's what I think the collective is supposed to be. But instead, what's going to happen is David's good son actually can go out and play football, and he's going to want $1.5 million. The school only has $1.2 million.
Fans foot the bill.
So I got to go see the collective. They'll make up the other 0.3. we're good, right?
But see, this is my problem. All they had to do was do this money. Here's the cap. Spend it however you want. There are no more collectives. We find out you're paying players on the side. We nuke your program. That's it.
And now, no, I'm sorry to cut you off. But yes, and here's the thing. You decide how you want. So if you're right. If you want to really go in and 75% of the money goes on your football team, that's on you.
Right.
And if another school says, well, we really care about our Olympic sports, all right, well, I can't help you that you got outspent and you didn't get that star quarterback.
So, people, what do you make of it? Because once again, college football is one step from doing the right thing. Allowing the schools to pay the athletes directly is just, it's justified. You like all your sweet, sweet TV revenue? Here you go. However, the fact that you're going to have to spread this money to other sports, there is no way they're going to allow everyone to get iced out except football. So right off the rip, there's a problem. But when you say, we're not getting rid of NIL collective, we're not getting rid of NIL, all you've done is raise the price of homes. Oh, rates are coming down. Home prices go up. You're not going to get a deal. You're basically going to devalue your dollar that the revenue coming in is worth. Because you're still going to have schools have fans go, oh, you got 20? We'll raise 20. Now we're spending 40. That's how Derek Harmon at Michigan State went from being a $400,000 player to $1.2 million. Phil Knight got all bricked up, and he just was, I want this player. They basically paid 3X what Derek Harmon was going to get paid. So what happens now? Oh, the schools are going to pay. Plus, you get the... Honestly, I'm not mad at you. I cannot understand how grown adults cannot make quality decisions. You can see it from a mile away what this will produce. You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me I'm wrong. David, Kenny, Kenny, please join in. Now, Georgia's got $20 million plus their collective. Tell me now the price of players just doesn't go up.
The price of players will keep going up. I don't think that, I think once you've introduced this idea, I think the cost of getting players for everyone has just gone way up.
Well, and it's not even that. It's the marginal players. It's the below average players. It's the, dude, you're not even in the starting in the 2D.
I was going to say, you think players that weren't starting made too much before.
Guys, I got to tell you something, and I don't like doing it. I made a mistake there. I hate bringing up a specific player and what they make. The whole point is, I'm not going to say, I got two guys that I'm pretty sure I know what they're getting from MSU, and they ain't no damn good. You'd vomit all over your sack. So what do you think's going to happen when MSU's got $20 million bucks or Michigan's got $20 million, plus the collectives can still play ball? You're going to see players getting $4 or $5 million.
And this is the other question I have with this, which I think I already know the answer. There's no contracts. There's no cap. There's no... have to stay there for a certain amount of time?
No. They haven't got into what the university, because I'm assuming the university will be able to offer some type of a contract because they're not stupid. They're, you know, they think the fans are stupid, but the university is going to be like, wait, no, you're not going to just run away
but
with our money.
What type of contract can you offer without a CBA, without a union? And I'm not challenging Rico on this because he's right with what he said.
Look, I'm thinking it's probably going to be almost the same type of a contract that a scholarship is, where it is year to year.
Don't you love this too, by the way? Here we are. Kenny, I'll get to you one moment. Here we go. Okay, Boomer. Here we go. But I just love how, on one hand, the average person will sit there and rightfully complain about what we are doing to the young people of this country with the extortion that a college education is, what the costs are, the fact they've gone up 200-300% in the last 25 years. But those same people will go nuts about that. And then on the other hand, they will completely devalue the free education that is worth in upwards of $250,000 that a Division I football player gets. Go get a four-year degree as an out-of-state student at the University of Michigan. Tell me what that tab costs you. Not to mention a free place to live. Not to mention the best food, training table, elite medical care, and free education. While we send your kids into a debt spiral of debt. Now that is where this has lost me. Because I never said they shouldn't get money. But when you combine the cash value of the scholarship over a four-year period, if I have you go to school for free, plus I give you the cash value of your scholarship, how is that a bad deal to play Division I football sight unseen and make a quarter of a mil over 4 years? I was happy when I returned effing pop bottles to the Quality Dairy.
Right? But then the rebuttal to that is, what's your 40 time? I can do this. I can do that. I can jump 40.
Right. Hey. And you know what my response would be to those mouth-breathing idiots? My 40 times are irrelevant when it's people like me who are footing the bill for this crap.
Once again,
my 40 time worked out just fine in life. I get very offended by this garbage because what my problem is that we scream about how much tuition is for regular kids, and those are the very people who come back to now have to foot this bill. And I'm fine with players getting paid, but why are we doing NIL if we're using the TV money?
And this is where, once again, the NCAA did not put up the guardrails. Oh. It's something that would have worked, but instead, it's just, you guys do whatever you want to do.
I can feel my forehead getting hot. Honestly.
I can see this, Steve.
I'm so tired of this. There are such easy solutions to just get this sport back on the rails and we can love it again.
Yes. It always amazes me how smart people can come up with the dumbest solutions.
Look at the playoff. Who the hell came up with 12? It's 8 or 16. Figure it out.
But these are the presidents and the athletic directors, the best of the best and the brightest, and they can't figure this out.
248-539-9797. All right, David, ticket text. We'll go to the calls. Go ahead.
This is effing simple. A salary cap. Limitations on transferring. Real tough. A2 and Tecumseh. You need to profit off of sharing amongst other sports. No cap, Mike, then the SEC will go back to cheating and it will be uneven playing field yet
it's
again.
It's uneven already. When a school like Tennessee is getting $62 million from their hayseed fan base and schools in the Big Ten don't get half of that, it's never been even. You know where college football's never been even? It's called geography.
Dude,
okay? The same eight states out of the South, the core Southern states, put almost 60% of the players into the NFL, okay? LSU doesn't have to leave the effing state. Alabama, it's never been equal. I'm not chasing equal. I'm just chasing some level of common sense.
Yes. Certain schools will always outdo the other. I look at it on a different level, but it's like, we're going to stop the war on drugs. No, you're not, okay? It sounds good. You're really not. Because you can come up with all the different rules and they'll find ways around your rules. And so, yeah, certain schools will always make sure we got the cherry on top. We'll make sure we get that player here.
Mike, I agree with you for one. These players already get a free tuition, free room and board, NIL money, and now however much the school wants to pay them. This is a joke.
And these are people, I hate to break this, and I am not being insulting, but when you are coming out of high school, you've accomplished nothing in life. You've accomplished the opportunity to play football. Now, if you want to tell me that somebody like Carson Beck wants to come back to school as the presumed number one overall pick and he deserves extra, I've never argued that. But do I need Carson Beck driving a Lambo? I want you to really think about this now. Don't sell me 1970s and MSU slush fund and guys driving a Buick. I'm talking about a guy driving a $500,000 car on a college campus.
Talking like Shador Sanders.
Right. It's absurdity.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not even the limit to what he's gotten. Millions of dollars in college is a preposterous concept. Pay the money. Pay them good money. But for God's sakes, all they had to do was get rid of the NIL. Here's your salary cap. This is the league we operate in. Hey, here's an idea. Oh, well, schools will keep cheating. Right. Like what? You think the Cowboys hand Micah Parsons extra money outside of the salary cap? Outside of the CBA? The Minnesota Timberwolves tried that with Joe Smith. It was called an illegal contract. They lost 5 first-round picks. You can have rules, guys. It's really not that hard. All right, I'll be quiet. I'm sorry.
No, you're upset.
Let's go to Kevin, 97.1. Kevin, the floor is yours. What's going on, buddy?
Mike, to your point, and college sports in general, the most corruptible sports that you can possibly get. They have been for decades. But what you are talking about is them instituting a price floor. And the price floor, all it's going to do is inject more money into the market and cause the base level to go from zero to whatever that level is going to be. So you haven't changed or altered the playing field at all in terms of leveling it. All you've done is increase it in height. So the whole point of that is ridiculous. It's just going to put more money into the pockets of kids that haven't proven themselves. And, you know, that's not what anyone needs. Money is a motivating factor. And when you give it to people, it tends to curb motivation than it does to increase it.
Well, especially, listen. And Kevin, I'm glad you brought this up. Look, there's a part of this, part of my fallout with college football. I think it's hard enough for grown adults when they get successful not to lose themselves, much less be as hyper-focused and motivated. And look, sometimes you grow and you have a family to be accountable for, people around you, but that comes well into your life, into your late 20s, early 30s. When you are handing this amount of money to 17, 18, and 19-year-olds, I'm sorry, you're not doing these guys any favors. You're not. And the idiocy I see where guys who I know aren't going pro are rocking diamond chains while playing football, you're like, dude, you don't get it, do you? Like, it's... Kevin, it's just the whole thing is silly.
It's irresponsible, but it's all part of that power structure. It's been so proprietary in college sports. That's why they go from a two-team playoff to four, because they want to isolate the best blue bloods. And then they made it 12 so that the top four schools can have a bye and they can always have an advantage going into the championship. It's a joke.
All of it is. Yeah. And Kevin, I agree with you. All we're doing is going to raise the price here with what Rico's this breaking news is. Great. Yeah, schools get $20 million. They got to spread it probably across the athletic department, which will cause a firestorm because no AD with a brain is going to pay players on non-Olympics, on non-revenue sports. Makes no sense. It's a total light your money on fire moment. Think about it. I have to take $20 million of my revenue, and you think I'm handing that to men's tennis and women's swimming? It's preposterous. So then you're going to pay these programs, and the best part is you're going to get into bidding wars. And the NIL, as Rico put it, that's the sweetener. So all that did, inflate pricing. And the pricing now is insane. It's insane.
No, it is. It is. It's going to be interesting to see how certain schools break down where the money goes and how much each program gets. Do you only give, 2% to the men's tennis team, where the football team will get 50% and the hoop team will get, another 35%, and then you guys divvy up the final 15% amongst everybody else.
David, what do the ticket texters have to say on this?
We are witnessing the death of college football as we knew it and loved it. I always thought that when money became prominent, it would smash it to the grave. That is Paul in Frazier. Someone else says, you're not wrong at all, Mike. They had a chance to fix this nonsense, but of course, they didn't do it. College sports are truly dead. That is Dan and Dexter.
It's crazy, man.
I mean, each time they've had it, it's been dying. And it's funny because I think it started dying with the whole BCS. And that's the first, it was like a mistake. We're just going to let the computers decide this. Well, who do you think puts the input into the computers? People. So it's not computers deciding it. It's still biased. So every time they think we're going to do this and we're smart people, actually you're not.
Well, the other thing too you're seeing now is like we talked earlier about Indiana's schedule. It's almost like having 18, 20 team conferences creates uneven scheduling. Indiana strength of schedule 106. Yet Michigan State of all teams strength of schedule is like 9. And we blow, make no mistake, but come on.
Between Michigan State and Purdue, because we did a breakdown on the pod, Purdue's schedule may be harder than Michigan State.
Right. And meanwhile, here's Indiana playing nobody, playing a collection of foofs, and they're going to make the playoff. And you're like, geez, it's almost like you could see this coming. Remember when the Big Ten, you basically played every team? Mm-hmm. You used to get mad if you missed one of the teams and somebody else played. Now, you're seeing it in the SEC. You can't...
Yeah, remember the old days. How did Michigan State not get such and such, but Michigan got them?
Oh, God, I'm turning into a muttering idiot.
Yeah, look at Penn State. They had one game. We lost it, but that's okay. We don't have anybody. Oregon? Nope. Indiana? Nope. Nobody else
did
good.
Nobody?
Yeah. They don't even play Michigan.
248-539-9797. We will get to your phone calls. We got to touch the table with football as well. We're going to talk wings too. Is tonight a game that if the Wings lose it, somebody loses the job. We'll talk about it.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.